Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. It usually doesn't take me this many takes to get going, so this is my last one, my final one. I started off three and I didn't like it, and so if it's about a minute in and I still don't like it, I just hit re-record. But if you're 5 minutes in, you just have to plow through. It is what it is. So I guess if somebody would give a big donation, and then I could supplement my income and devote more time to No Compromise Radio, you might have it less flawless. I'm also told that sometimes people can hear the chair that I'm sitting in. I think that's just because I've got, as my mother would say, ants in my pants, just wiggling around, that kind of thing. Well, what's on today? I want you to know that you can email me first at info@nocompromiseradio.com. You can go to our website, nocompromiseradio.com. You can go to the Facebook, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Twitter. I think there's a link even at our church website, bbcchurch.org. Cool new website. You can get over to into No Compromise as well. Or if you want some videos, noco90.com. Interestingly, I was just in Orlando. Great group of people there at Cornerstone Baptist Church. And some people said, well, we know the NOCO 90s, but we didn't know you had a radio show. So I'm going to have to start putting on the NOCO 90s, that this is just like a teaser for NOCO Radio. Well, what's going on here today? The thing that's bugging me the most today, Deseret News, of course, that is a, what kind of a news outlet? Mormon. When I was in Utah, I would go to the Deseret bookstore sometimes and snoop around for Mormon underwear just to see what it looked like. I didn't have to have my card, my Mormon card. Evangelical leader says commonality with Mormons deeper than differences. Joseph Walker, Deseret News, November 16th, 2013. So if you had any guesses who this person would be, who might you guess it to be? Well, it's one thing to go speak to the Mormons. If you tell them, well, we're similar when it comes to pro-family, pro-values, pro-Judeo-Christian values, pro-heterosexual marriage, anti-pornography, but every one of you here doesn't believe the real gospel, and you better repent and believe, and you must be born again. You've got the wrong Jesus. Well, it'd be one thing, wouldn't it? It's another thing to say that your commonality with Mormons is deeper than differences. And so who's the one that said this? Well, it should be no surprise that Richard Mouw, M-O-U-W, President Emeritus of Fuller Theological Seminary, speaking at the Orem LDS Institute of Religion, adjacent to Utah Valley University, Friday, November 15th. Borrowing an ancient Hebrew word from an Old Testament text, so writes Joseph Walker, one of America's leading evangelical scholars. You mean America's leading liberals, cloaked in evangelical garb? You mean that guy? Told nearly 2,000 young Mormons at Utah Valley University Friday that faith, his faith, and their faith, often at odds with each other through the years over doctrinal disparities, need, this is now Mao's quote, Mao, need to find ways we can work together to find shalom, or peace. God has placed us in the world, in this nation, and calls us to seek the shalom together. I guess I know why I sound like I'm underwater today, because I simply have no words. I don't know why I'm shocked. He goes on to say, evangelicals and Mormons have a lot to talk about, and a lot to share about the hope that lies within each one of us. Okay, so what's the hope that lies within each one of us? You've got the Bible and Christianity, where Jesus is the eternal God. He's the creator. He's not created. And he's the eternal God, along with the Father, along with the Spirit, one God, subsisting in three persons, eternal. And then you have the Mormon view. And so we've got the wrong view of God, or if I could put it this way, if I'm going to be nice, we have a different view of God, but we're going to work together for God. Now, that doesn't make sense. We have different gods. And so we're going to each work for our own different gods, but we've got to work together. Now, see just how dumb this sounds? This goes back to the old story where love rejoices with the truth, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so we need to put aside doctrinal differences so we can be unified, because what separates? Well, doctrine separates. And I know the Bible says, preach the word in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and doctrine. We know the time will come where people are going to want to be tickled and soothed. They want to be calmed. There's a lot of people now against Christianity, so the more friends we have, the better. Why create enemies over that? Actually, you know, they're the only church that has Jesus in their name these days, right? Latter-day Saints and Jesus. But the Bible prevents this. Actually, this is the way I frame the question to my son, who's 17, and I'm trying to have him learn about godly, biblical manhood, soldier metaphors in the New Testament, pastoral epistles especially, farming, athletics, kind of, you know, manly stuff, why men are to be elders and stand for truth and to refute those who contradict. So I asked my son this question: is there anybody in church history that you respect that talks like this? So let's just kind of take ourselves out of today, if possible, and just have a quick survey of church history. Maybe you want to read the Bruce Shelley book on church history in plain language. Maybe you'd want to read The Story of Christianity. Maybe you want to read a variety of different books in church history. Or maybe you just want to read biographies. Maybe the Arnold Dallimore 2-volume George Whitefield biographies that rock. Maybe the Lion of the Covenant, talking about the Scottish covenanters, easy for me to say. Who talks like this? Nobody that I respect talks like this. Not one single person. And now we have this big news. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Mao saying that they share belief in, quote, the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. There's no redemption for the Roman Catholic Church. There's no redemption with the Mormon Jesus. You need to have a representative who's fully man and fully God, the God-man. And you need to have a substitute who's fully God and fully man, the God-man. And the Mormon Church doesn't have that. Oh, they'll try to duck and jive you, all right. That's for sure. You say, well, that Mormon missionary told me something different. Well, that Mormon missionary is not reflecting Mormon doctrine. Mao said, that's important to us because we have a lot of disagreements. Yeah, like the Trinity, the nature of God, anthropology, soteriology, pneumatology, Christology, bibliology, all the solas. He said, we need to talk about those things, the differences. Yeah, I'm sure we do. We'll relate to one another and we'll share and we'll talk about these things together. But it's important for us to talk about those things as we hold fast to the Savior. If we're all saying, give me Jesus, a reference to the beautiful gospel song presented earlier in the program by the Orem Institute Latter-day Celebration Choir. Now, this is Pastor Greg Johnson talking about this. All of those differences will dissipate into academic rarities that probably aren't important when considered next to our desire to work together for the cause of righteousness. Okay, so the cause of righteousness. I want to ask you this. Tell me what's righteous about proclaiming that Jesus Christ is not the eternal God. What's righteous about that? I can't get any farther. When you've got a wrong view of Scripture, it's the Bible plus, right? Book of Mormon, Doctrines and Covenants. When you've got a wrong view of the Savior, that he's not the eternal Son of God, and when you have a wrong view of salvation, you're saved by grace after all we can do. Look it up in 2 Nephi, Nephi, whatever you want to call it. It's blasphemy to me. Then where can I go? I'm not trying to be mean. I would shake Richard Mao's hand. I would shake a Mormon's hand. I could be a good neighbor to a Mormon. But you want me to sit down for a dialogue? I'll tell you who always wins the dialogues. Satan. He wins the dialogues. Sitting down to the table to dialogue over Scripture. Now, if you'd like to sit down and you'd like me to preach to you, I'd be glad to do that. But dialoguing and finding common ground, this is not the way things work. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is clear. We are not to be bound together with unbelievers. And Paul lists all those questions. What harmony has Christ with Belial? What has the believer in common with an unbeliever? Okay, we could just stop right there. Richard Mao, if you are a believer, what commonality does a Christian have with a Mormon? You say, well, they're Mormons too. Well, then you don't understand. Go back to just simple Mike Abendroth. How do you analyze a cult at the low level? Scripture, Savior, salvation. Just always think of those three things, whether it's Jehovah's Witnesses or anyone else. Scripture, is it the Bible alone, sola scriptura, errant, infallible, sufficient, authoritative? I think I said inerrant, didn't I? I wanted to say inerrant. I'm not sure. But inerrant, infallible. So scriptures. Nothing about the Bible plus or something less than the Bible or a low view of the Bible. Second one is the Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who's the eternal Son of God. He cloaks himself with humanity in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he perfectly obeys the law of God as a man. And he dies on the cross, a sinner's death, and is raised from the dead. His righteousness imputed to believers' account. Our sin imputed to Jesus' account. Even though he never sins, he bears our sins. And he is not just man, he is also God. I wouldn't say he's God and man. I'd put it together with the one personality, the God-man. That's the way to talk about Jesus, the God-man. Dies the vicarious death that we deserved. And the Father, of course, the Spirit does it and the Son does it. But most of the time, the Scriptures talk about the Father raising him from the dead. Why? To affirm and confirm and to authenticate Christ. It is finished death, Christ sufficient death, and he will return soon bodily, just the way he came, going up to heaven, he's going to come back. And so then you've got salvation. Is it by Christ's work alone, or is it by something else we can do? This is going to happen more and more and more, and the Mormons, they are very aggressive to try to bring in the evangelicals because they know they can dupe a lot of people. And it's not that easy to dupe the folks at Fuller Seminary because they're liberals and their trajectory is as liberal as you can get. When Mao says, we evangelicals have often focused on the origins of the Book of Mormon and questions of Joseph Smith's prophetic authority, but we haven't paid attention to the content of the Book of Mormon. See, if you can just dig in there a little deeper, you're going to find nuggets of truth. Well, of course you're going to find nuggets of truth because that's what Satan does. When you see Satan tempting Eve in the garden, when you see Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he's using the Bible. He's using the first revised version of the Bible, Revised Standard Perversion. He's using that, cutting some corners, adding some details, messing around with the Word of God. Cults don't start off with, you're a moon man and everybody's a moon woman and weird things. You're going to use the Bible as a stepping off point. Mao says, but when you stop and read it, a lot of doctrine looks and sounds like our doctrine with language that sounds like the kinds of things we say. Of course, because that is the satanic deception of the whole thing. You don't start off by acting as wild and as weird as possible. There's going to be some things in there. Now, Richard reads from the Book of Mormon some prophet Alma's language about the ministry and the atonement of Jesus. Quote, "Repent and be born again and have faith on the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world, who is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness." Alma 7:14. But the problem is the rest of the Book of Mormon guts the real biblical definition of Jesus. It's not the same Jesus. You can worship Alma Moon God Jesus if you'd like. It's a free country. Just don't call it Christian. And Richard Mao, shame on you for calling it Christian. Well, okay, you say he's not calling it Christian, but he's using that. Now, if the vocabulary is the same, but the meanings are different, I'm just telling you, this is adulterating the Word of God. Remember when Paul talks about that? That's a pretty big deal, I think. This is, to me, a classic illustration of adulterating the Word of God. You take something pure and you make it unholy. You take, for instance, in marriage, sexual union, which is holy, good, right, and worshipful, and you take it and then you go to the red light district and it's the prostitution there. It's horrible, horror. Dirty, sleazy, filthy. There's a reason why Paul talks about adulterating the Word of God. It's everything except godly. When you think of godly, what's the opposite? Ungodly. It's unlike God. Just think about Jesus' words. And when Jesus is around Pharisees and scribes and those people who are around the Bible and have a certain vocab, they've got the vocab of the Bible, but their meanings are completely wrong, and they're externalizing religion with the Pharisees, like in Mark 7, I believe. Jesus whacks them. This is exactly the kind of stuff that Jesus goes ballistic over. When Jesus is around people who realize that they're sinful and they need a doctor, they need a physician, they need a spiritual MD— well, then he's kind to them. But when you start messing around with the Word of God, those are the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ that I affirm as an evangelical Christian, Mao said. But see, they have a context. You just can't yank those things out. I show that address to my students at Fuller, referring to a sermon by Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the LDS Church, April 2009 General Conference about the Atonement. They tell me, my students tell me, according to Mao, that if they didn't know it was a Mormon speaking, they would have thought it was Billy Graham. So now, let's just bring this stuff in. Let's just bring it in wholesale. Well, Fuller died a long time ago, and I'm sorry for Charles Fuller's legacy that it has to be what it is. Fuller needs to be flushed of its cesspool theology, just like Southern Seminary did, and it will take an act of God to do it through men who will stand up and proclaim the truth. That's what's going to have to happen. These are profound teachings that we both talking about Jesus, Mao is saying. These are the things we need to be talking about rather than shouting at each other and demonizing each other. Okay, I'm not shouting. Nobody's shouting. I'm not shouting. Demonizing. I'm trying to tell you, this is exactly what Paul writes about when he says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? What harmony with Christ has with Belial?" I don't want to have anything to do with this. I'm not a second-degree separationist or segregationist, for that matter. I'm not third-degree, fourth-degree, fifth-degree, or anything else. But I want God to be saying about the ministry that I'm responsible for, and for me and my family and the church here, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It's Exodus 29 language in 2 Corinthians 6. "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." Right from Isaiah 52:11. I will welcome you. That's what I want. I'm not looking for numbers so I can affect the culture. I'm looking to be faithful and to have the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I welcome you." And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Samuel 7. That's what I'm after. And then kind of a bad chapter break, so I'll read chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And for real Christians, Paul says, make room for us in your hearts. Open up wide your arms to real Christians. But for those who aren't, we need to preach the gospel to them and not try to affirm them and confirm them in their wickedness. Convicted civility? Well, I want to be civil to people, but while I'm civil, I have to tell them the truth. Now, let's talk about, on No Compromise Radio, convicted civility. That's what I'm after, civility. That's right. Jean, etc. This is just a straw man. I'm not talking about yelling. Not talking about dominating. I'm talking about we're going to talk about the truth. We're going to talk a truth. Mao said we do need to give a witness of those deepest convictions in our soul, but we also need to be willing to learn from each other, to be open, to listen, and we need to be able to work together for the common good. There you have it. You want to know the hermeneutics of the devil? That's it. That's it. Did I say he was a devil? This is the hermeneutics of the devil, is when you say, redefine, jettison, gut, viscerate, and then get together. Let's boil everything down to the baseline, to the nubs, and then we can talk together as friends, and then we can go do things together. And then, by the way, as you do things with Mormons, for those that are really Christians, and then you decide to do things with Mormons, then all the Mormons think, yes, we're on the same team because we're working together. No, we want them to know. We think you worship a different Jesus, and we can prove it from the Bible. Your definition of Jesus, unless you're postmodern, post-Christian, unless you're a relativist, you can't believe the same thing. You can't harmonize these two things. Oh, yeah, you carry around your King James Bible, but these things cannot be harmonized. You're saved by grace after all you can do in the Mormon book, or you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man boast. So how do these two together go together? You can't do it. So I don't want people to know, oh, you know what, let's do a March for Life together with a bunch of people, and they're all Mormons and Catholics and everybody else who are all getting together for that sake. No, that I want to be welcomed by the Lord. That's what I want. I'm not working together for the common good. He calls both evangelicals and Mormons to hear God's call to justice and righteousness. Well, then why don't you do what you say? This is justice and righteousness, that we don't bastardize the definitions of Jesus and salvation and how to get to heaven. Mao says, in our communities, when we were asked to say something about the deep hope that is in us, we name the name of Jesus. Together we need to serve sinful people in a fallen world. This is just about the worst thing that I've read for a while. Deseret News, 2013. Whenever we are in this relationship, it is a religious liberty issue that beckons into a future of commonality that may help transcend past barriers in ways we have previously never seen. I have four words for that. Over my dead body. I'm not going to do it. You call me names. Oh, he's mean. The scriptures couldn't be clearer. Church history, it doesn't take you very long to read. These kind of people, one compromise leads to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And so if you believe that there's a commonality, you better be common about the fundamentals of the faith in the Mormons and the Christians. At the highest level, the Mormons know this. They're probably laughing their way all the way to the commonality bank. I think it's just so funny that so many Christians could just be duped into this. So my name's Mike Avendroth. This is No Compromise Radio. I think I'm nicer in person, but this stuff bugs me. Don't redefine Jesus and then try to go find verses in Alma that somehow makes sense for the Christian and say, now we're together for commonalities. Christ's name is worth defending, isn't it? The honor of Jesus is worth declaring, isn't it? My name is Mike Abendroth, No Compromise Radio.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbcchurch.org. or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.